Call to order. 48-hour notice. Opening statement. Pursuant to NJSA 10-4-10, notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Boulderman?
Here.
Mrs. Bissom?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Here.
Mr. Carey? Mr. Patani?
Here.
Mr. Hobiter? Mr. LaFreda? Mr. Milancewicz?
Here.
Mr. Moran? Mr. Pellegrino?
Here.
Mrs. Pollock?
Here.
Mr. Serino?
Here.
We have four.
Mission statement. Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through partnership with community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment and in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next combined committee of the whole and regular board meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After discussion during the committee of the whole portion of the meeting, the matter is focused on during the regular public board meeting agenda and presented to the Board of Education for a vote. Acceptance of minutes. I recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined committee of the whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of June 13, 2023. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such time as the reasons for discussing and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exist. Can I have a motion to accept the minutes?
Yes.
Mr. Serino? Mr. Boulderman?
Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bissom?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mr. Milancewicz?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carrie?
We have no student board representative report, presentations, or principal and director's reports for this month. Public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. In order to ensure all members of the public who wish to participate are afforded a timely and orderly opportunity to do so, the board may not answer questions posed by those making comments. The board may address questions posed during this period once all members of the public wishing to speak have done so. The board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of, any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only. Would anyone like to be heard on agenda items? Seeing no one, would anyone like to be heard on items not on the agenda? Seeing no one, we'll move to the discussion items.
Thank you. Tonight we're going to focus on a board retreat, and with the administration and the Board of Education collaboratively will work towards developing our board goals for this year. Now, because of the makeup of our meeting, we are in a committee format. We're in a committee of a whole. My intent was to break up into groups, discuss the goals that were being put forward, and come back to the table again and take a look at the drafts that were put together and then pick out the goals. Because of the nature of our committee of a whole, we're going to take a different approach. The administrators will come before us. They will present draft goals focused on various areas, curriculum, technology, fiscal, infrastructure, and their draft goals. We'll discuss each goal as it's presented, change it as you see fit, or keep it the same. And at the end of all five goals being presented, you have an opportunity to choose the goals you would like to utilize this year from board goals, or create your own from what you heard. But at the end of tonight's meeting, what I would like to have is the essence of our board goals for this coming year. We good? With that, before we get into the presentation of our board goals, artificial intelligence is something that I really think is going to have a profound impact educationally, especially on teaching and learning. And I think it's very important that we understand that how we respond to this particular innovation is more important than the innovation itself. And there's three areas in which we can respond to this. We can maintain the status quo, become transactional, and utilize the tools artificial intelligence gives us to help us create a better product or be transformational. My focus, as long as I'm superintendent, is to work with my administrative team to be transformational, understand the essence of artificial intelligence, utilize it the best we can, and prepare our students for the future, inclusive of this new data-generated computer technology. So with that, we have to look at reinventing teaching and reinventing learning. Some of the things we'll discuss tonight in the goals being put forward are the basis of that particular initiative. I believe you have to take small steps as we move forward, eventually embracing this fast-changing new technology that we have. And no one really knows where it's going to bring us, but I do know we have to ask critical questions as we move forward. So with that, I would like to invite Margaret Pollock and Rick Popola and Craig Urin forward to present our first goal focused on curriculum. Great. And with that, each board member should have a handout. And the goal itself will appear on the board.
Thank you, Dr. King.
Very well.
Good evening, everyone. So today's kind of an update to talk about an initiative that we've been discussing as an administration and as a Board of Education for the better part of the year. And that's our implementation of the International Baccalaureate Diploma Program. And as we've talked about at previous meetings, the process that we've gone through this year has been an exploratory process. We were assigned a coordinator with IB, and much of the year really has focused on what we need to do to qualify as a candidate school. So just want to kind of talk a little bit about the program, where we are, and what steps we need to take moving forward for the implementation of International Baccalaureate in 2024-2025. The last time I spoke to you, and we talked about the update, we had submitted the final application. We were in the process, again, of just finalizing a couple of things that relate to curriculum. The application process is an exhaustive process. It doesn't end with the application being approved. There's a number of visits and a number of steps that we need to go through as a school district in terms of moving forward. So, Our goal that we wanted to look at is, again, the Manasquan Board of Education will facilitate the collaboration of Manasquan High School administrators, teachers, and guidance staff for implementing the International Baccalaureate Program for the 2024-25 school year. And one of the things that I wanted to kind of circle back on is to talk about, as we talk about reimagining learning and what that's going to look like, just to kind of go back and take a look at the International Baccalaureate mission statement, which reads, "The International Baccalaureate aims to develop inquiring, knowledgeable, and caring young people who help to create a better and more peaceful world through intercultural understandings and respect." The main focus of this program is really students taking a higher level of ownership of their learning, and also it's about the importance of applying their knowledge as meaningful citizens. So as an overview of the program, I think that's important to keep in mind. So in terms of our action items, the first items that we go through, the first bullet on your sheet is about the completion and approval of the International Baccalaureate Diploma Program application. So again, as we last spoke, we had completed the consultation phase with our coordinator, with IB, and we submitted the application. The process went from January 2023 to June. Our application was accepted and was approved, so we are now a candidate school. Also, since that time, we designated and approved Jamie Honorato, a longtime English teacher here at Manasquan High School, as our IB coordinator. That was also this month. And again, we also achieved application approval as an IB candidate school, and we just got that news a couple weeks ago. Our next step in terms of the administration and program leaders' professional development plan, International Baccalaureate is very clear that they want to train all their administrators and teachers so they understand what the purpose of the program is and how to best serve students. So again, since the last time that we met, our IB coordinator, Ms. Honorato, attended an International Baccalaureate conference in St. Petersburg, in Florida. That was a 3-day conference. She brought back a lot of good information as related to professional development, resources, and also, most importantly, she consulted with a lot of different schools from around the nation and even around the world to talk about what the program looks like in their school. So it was a good, it was a very positive experience. Principal Goodall is currently participating in online professional development as the IB head of school. That's going on right now, and we'll go into the end of July. So once we have that done, then we're ready to move to our next phase. Our next phase is the program planning and IB course selection. And again, that's the planning for 2024-25. So administrators will consult with our IB development associate to discuss course selection and the professional development plan for teachers in 2023-2024. We as administrators have a lot of discussions to plan with our coordinator, talk about the needs of our school, to talk about our schedule, to talk about our students, and to talk about our goals, and they're going to work with us to kind of tailor a program for us in terms of what our course selection is. There's a number of different courses that we can select from humanities, science, and math, and the arts, and you know, through the month of August, those discussions are going to happen. That's really going to drive the next step of the action plan. So administratively, again, after we meet with the consultant, administrators will meet with the IB coordinator and select courses for implementation for 24-25. And the director of guidance, principal, director of curriculum instruction, and our supervisors will work to create program pathways for students who wish to enter the International Baccalaureate program in 2024-2025. When students come to us during that year, we're going to have to lay out a pathways, what courses are going to look like, not just beginning in their junior year, which is when they'll start taking the IB courses, but what that'll look like beginning their freshman year so they can meet all the requirements and move forward with the program. And the last component is the teacher professional development plan. That is our primary focus for this year. The IB coordinator, Ms. Honorato, and I will present an overview of the International Baccalaureate program to the MHS teaching staff. And Principal Goodall has already talked with his staff at the end of the year faculty meeting this year to kind of give an overview of the program. And I know that some teachers have been expressing interest in being a part of that, depending upon what courses we choose. The IB coordinator will present the professional development plan to teachers with specific assignments, trainings based on teacher assignments in the program. That'll be in September 2023. And then throughout this year, we will have our teachers participate in virtual and on-site professional development opportunities as offered by the International Baccalaureate and FLIBS. That's another organization that works in conjunction with IB throughout the school year. And that will be ongoing. Our goal this year is to provide some level of professional development as it relates to IB to all our staff here at the high school. And again, depending upon which courses we choose to offer, those teachers will receive more intensive and more in-depth professional development, again, based on their assignments. The good thing about this program is the professional development is ongoing. Every year we will go through another level. There are different tiers of professional development, and this will be something that, again, will make learning meaningful, and will also create a, you know, a positive climate for our students. The last thing I just wanted to say as it relates to the IB is that everything that we've heard from the visits that we've gone on to the professional development, this program is brings in a different kind of learning culture to schools. Once you're an IB school, it becomes a big part of your identity. We're anxious to see what that looks like and how that applies to our high school here. And we have a really solid plan and a very strong timeline in terms of implementation. So that's the goal that we're looking at in terms of curriculum and program in high school for the school.
One of the things I heard we did on one-to-ones, I did a one-to-one with the majority of the board members who were here tonight and asking them when we did our board retreat exactly what we wanted to focus in on. What were some of your goals? What were some of your agendas that you had? And some of the things that I heard was focusing more on mastery of subject areas, taking a look at a learning culture, and changing the culture of learning in the building. Where did the love of learning go? Students are more concerned about grades than they are the love of learning. And getting a different perception or different view of the world. And the International Baccalaureate program itself is going to create a different type of learning culture for those students who are actively engaged in it, because it gives them a global perception educationally. And they, again, go into subjects and areas of study which they would not naturally have gone into either in the AP sections or in the regular curriculum. So this answers those requests that I got in that area in the high school. It is going to start to develop, and everything takes time. There's small steps here. A culture of learning different than the culture of learning we have today for those students who get actively engaged in this. What Rick just presented to you was the goal and the action steps that will be taken to achieve that goal if you decide to choose that this evening. Questions?
I have a question. As I understand it, students couldn't take courses until the 2024-25.
Correct.
Is that right? So as you're doing the professional development and as the administrators are looking at implementing these programs, can you look at it, like, is it possible to look at it towards an eye of what can be replicated or useful to creating the culture of learning that we're talking about for students who are not necessarily on the IB path, but just in terms of changing the perspective of some of the teachers and the administration in terms of learning a different way to teach
it's
material?
One of the questions that we asked with every visit that we took, and that was one of the things I know Ms. Pollock took a group of teachers up to Shore Regional, and one of the things that we noticed was the entire school had an IB feel to it. By that, all the displays revolved around International Baccalaureate or a general way of thinking and project-based learning. And we asked the questions continually, how does this impact all students? And the answer to that was that once teachers are trained and they understand the IB way and how to form a partnership with students about their learning and provide them ownership, it affects all learners. And that's what we've heard, and that's one of the things that we're very anxious about, to see how that works. We're looking at some courses that we might implement depending on scheduling and what they tell us about. We're looking at possibly an IB dance program, for example. We're looking at a couple IB math programs. So we're trying to get a variety of courses together that apply that appeal to a lot of different students. The other piece is that when Ms. Honorato came back from the training down in St. Petersburg, she talked to a couple different schools, and they said that it's really important to make sure that all your teachers get trained. So it is an overarching philosophy about how you approach planning, assessment, and more importantly, developing that partnership with kids. So we're excited to take the next step and see what that looks like.
Also, one of the questions I was asked was how to get the most funding to get some money to go to school, to the next level. And having a portfolio or having our baccalaureate classes as well as AP classes are going to give you a foot up in regards to getting some resources from
And just because, students don't go through the entire IB program, they may not earn the IB diploma, although that's our goal. Students that can take à la carte classes, can take, you know, a couple IB classes, they still gain the benefit of strength of schedule, much like an AP class. So it's a positive experience for students and teachers, from what we've, you know, all accounts of UCAL.
Okay. See more questions?
All right, thank you.
No, I'm sorry, I have one more question. In terms of the professional development, if like we're investing in this program, is there a limit to how many? Like, are you limited by what courses you choose? And then, you know, so if you're going to do a math program, there are 5 math teachers that can take the professional development, or can you open it up to?
Well, again, from the information that we got, and I have a meeting with Ms. Honorato next week, we want to train everyone. We don't want to limit the professional development to the people that are only teaching in the program. That does not make for a successful IB school based on over here. So we want to get professional development for everyone and have everyone be, you know, reflective in the way that they teach and go from there. So this is going to be something that everyone's going to be involved in.
We really want to reinvent teaching. I think as an administrative team, we have to come to terms with what does good instruction look like. Because you do all the observations and evaluations, and you give pertinent feedback to the staff. So if we're all on the same page in regards to what we're looking for, what is good instruction, and our staff buys into that, it's really going to give us a leg up as we move forward. So that's something that we will talk about, and we will discuss as the year starts.
Yeah. Right, and when the teachers did come back, and it's Mrs. Honorato, but in speaking with her, she had already tailored assignments based on what she saw going on in the classrooms. So it wasn't, she hadn't even really had any formal training. It's just, it's a little bit of a paradigm shift in the way that you think about learning. You know, student engagement right now when we're coming at it, I know we're a couple years out of COVID, but that changed learning significantly. And also, the phones, which we all can agree, we have to be more engaging than the phones. So that is any strategies that we can take from a program like IB is only going to help all of our teachers. So, you know, as Rick was saying, it's important that everybody understands that shift and that understanding of those instructional strategies, because it's not only going to be applicable in those classes, it'll be applicable across all curriculum. So so I think it's going to be really valuable for us to have all of our teachers get that experience.
And that's a conversation that we've had as administrators over the last year, specific to student engagement. What does it look like when we go into a classroom? What do we expect students to be not only be doing, but how do we expect them to be reacting to the teacher in front of them or working with them? And that's something that we talk about often as we go in and evaluate teachers. So it's going to be a shift for all of us, but it's going to be an exciting time.
Dr. Kazin, I have a question.
Sure.
Numbers, which I don't understand, and I was late to tonight, but how many students in 2024-25 will be participating? How many classes do you anticipate offering?
So there's a couple different ways. In terms of the courses offered, there's a couple different ways to roll out the program. One is to do it incrementally. We chose in our discussions to include all the courses that we're required to. So overall, we have a couple choices. There's 6 to 7 classes overall, and then the theory of knowledge course. We have to make determinations of what classes we're teaching, but also we have to slot them as either standard level courses or higher level courses. So again, that's a conversation that we're going to have. But as it goes forward, so who's going to be involved? That's really another piece after we get through this and around this time next year, where I know that Ms. Kenny and her guidance counselors, when she goes out, when they go out to the sending districts, this is going to be a major focal point that we present to the sending district students, that this is a program that, you know, you would want to be interested in, that you would want to take. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we have a lot of positive discourse about that, about what that 4-year plan is going to look for those students. The students that are in the school at that time will be given the opportunity as well to take courses that, you know, it's going to be a little different for them because they're going to have to meet state requirements, and you know, you'll have some sophomores and juniors and seniors, but they will also have the opportunity to take maybe individual courses, again, a la carte, where they might not necessarily have the opportunity to get totally through the diploma program. So, you know, we're going to promote the program, and we're going to drum up interest, and we'll, you know, we'll see how many people are.
I think the burden is on our shoulders, I'm talking about management, to actually explain the difference in what an AP program is and what an International Baccalaureate program is, the difference in the culture that we're trying to develop, and really put forward for the students who are coming here a deep understanding about what those programs would allow them to do and how they could grow in that. And they have to make a choice. One of my goals here, the whole time I've been here, we have a comprehensive high school. I want to have something for everyone. And as I sat back, and that was about 4 years ago, I came to the board and I said, you want to have more of a focus on more advanced placement classes, or you want to move towards International Baccalaureate? And at that particular time, we wanted to increase our advanced placement classes, which we had. We've done a great job with that. In fact, our results this year, our complimentary prior administrative team did a wonderful job. Our AP scores are up. I mean, the amount of students who are taking our AP classes are up. And I think that in the 5 year look back, I think the last time we had scores like this was in
2018.
So when you ask how many students are going to be involved in this, the high schools that we visited when I went to Boston, the amount of students that they had actually taking, getting a diploma, the International Baccalaureate diploma, the three schools were 10, 12, and I believe it was 11. So right around 10 students were doing the whole thing. However, there were majority of students just taking individual classes because they were interested in them and because of the way they were being taught. And it is possible to teach a subject, an AP subject, an international baccalaureate subject in the same class with the same teacher, once that teacher gets trained, once we move to that. So then that's not going to cause us the need to hire new staff. So I wish I could tell you how many students it's going to be, but that's 2 years away when we see how this received by the student population.
In a best case scenario, are we talking, like you just said, out of a pool of maybe 250 students, 10?
If I have,
are we
10,
talking 50?
If we have 10 that are actively engaged in getting the diploma, I think we did a great job. So, and again, as that comprehensive high school, I'm going to have something for everyone. Thanks, guys. Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Mrs. Mineta, Mrs. Paleo, regarding curriculum, the elementary school.
You brought Mrs. Walsh with us.
Well, thank you. Remember to our team.
Yes.
Congratulations. And you're still smiling.
We didn't scare her off just yet. Yeah, we haven't scared her off just yet. All right, good evening, everyone. Thank you for allowing us this opportunity to talk with you a little bit about our goal planning for this coming year. It's very similar to what was said from Mr. Coppola. We're taking a very close look at student engagement. We're taking a very close look at the instructional strategies and practices that are in place for our teachers to deal with today's students, not our pre-COVID students, but the students that are sitting before us today. So our goal is to provide some really significant and targeted professional development and PLC work, so our professional learning communities, to build a bank of resources and strategies to help our teachers to best reflect upon their current best practices and really discuss how to improve student engagement in our classrooms all the way through pre-K to 8. You know, we talked a little, I heard Mr. Mirren say earlier that we have to make our instruction more compelling than the phones, and I think that taking a look at our use of technology is something that is very important. How are we using technology and how are we limiting technology for our students so that we are going to get our best effect? So the first piece that we're going to focus on in terms of our practice is really aligning and articulating amongst our administrative team on our expectations for student engagement. What does that look like? What does it sound like? What is the experience like for a student, for a teacher, when you're in a classroom where students are truly engaged? looking at how we are taking a look in our classroom observations and our walkthroughs. What are we seeing overall? What are we seeing in grade levels in departments, and how can we bring that into our conversation? And then how can we make sure that in our feedback during our observation process that that's really well aligned? That's very important to us. So we will be holding some administrative team meetings to really practice articulating those things. We'll take a look at even doing some potential walkthroughs together in classrooms and saying what sort of things that we notice, what kind of feedback we might need to provide based on what we're seeing. We do at the elementary school pride ourselves on having very active and current PLCs. Every grade level has a period off every week together for that professional learning community. The professional learning community time. So that means that they are specifically off together at a given time so that they're able to work on any of the goals that we're setting for them. We can provide them with professional development during that time. We can also give them time to collaborate and work together on these topics. So monthly, we are going to be presenting, taking a really active role in those PLCs and providing some additional support and instruction around the topic of student engagement. Some of those topics are going to vary from the grade levels versus the departments at the middle school level, what that's going to look and sound like. And then for those PLCs, the teachers, when they're participating in those professional learning communities, they complete reflection activities each time, which talk to us about what are they communicating about, what are their concerns, what supports do they need. Mm-hmm. We'll be working together with Kristen to make sure that whatever supports that the teachers do need in those cases that they have, providing them with the resources during that time. And then we are also going to make sure that our district professional development days are really targeted towards the professional development that the teachers need regarding student engagement. What are the best tools, techniques, strategies that you can use in your classroom to make sure that you're getting every child actively involved, that they are engaged in their learning process, but also that they're feeling connected to their teacher, they're feeling connected to their peers, they're feeling connected to the work that they're doing. So between the really intensive work on the professional development days and those PLCs where we're going to set the tone monthly and then continue that tone through the rest of the month, do those PLC reflections, and then also working together as a team on our administrative feedback and the way that we're gonna take a look at shifting the way that our teachers are thinking about teaching and learning, shifting the way that they're producing learners in their classroom who are able to think and produce on their own and really encouraging dialogue. Did I miss anything?
Nope, I think.
Did I miss anything?
No,
it's great timing too with our new literacy program. Very much.
So we've talked to all of you about our implementation of the Wit and Wisdom and the GEODS program in this upcoming school year. Wit and Wisdom really places a strong emphasis on students learning through collaboration and through dialogue, and so that is going to dovetail really nicely into a lot of this conversation. If we can do that in our literacy classroom with this program, how can we apply some of those other skills and strategies in other areas? I didn't realize we were tied, but if so, we did really well.
Somebody else wants to go. Awesome. You can see the themes emerging here of student engagement and reinventing teaching and professional development, which is the kid. So, questions about this particular point?
Something that came up recently was professional development for the paras. Is that going to be a focus? I know it's not in here, but is that going to be a focus?
It is. So we concluded all relevant instructional staff because many of our paraprofessionals are in semi-instructional capacities, supporting students in the classroom. And whenever teachers are implementing student engagement strategies like small groups and they're, doing more of that dialogue, the paraprofessional is going to take a very active role. So we'll include them in our student engagement work as well, especially on those PD.
And it would also depend on whatever their role was. Sometimes their roles can be individual to a student. Sometimes it could be a shared group. So depending on whatever their responsibilities are, sometimes the paras would have like a different responsibility than part of the classroom. However, still the relative content area would still be relevant for them to be able to participate and right. perform their responsibilities well. So yes, absolutely, they would be involved in that.
Yeah.
give you two questions. So in last year's goals for the elementary school, they included, I don't know if it's called cross-articulation, but articulation with the middle school and the high school for language, math.
Yep.
Just broadly. And also a focus on character education and social emotional learning, which I feel like you guys have done an excellent job with in everything that you've rolled out in the last year. Are those things that, I mean, to me, that all goes towards potentially student engagement and then ultimately, hopefully, student achievement?
Yep.
So 3 years ago, we had a blue ribbon school goal for the elementary school. That was in there for a couple of years.
It's still there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah.
The social emotional learning piece is very tied into this. A lot of what we're going to be talking about in those early PLC opportunities is how to help students feel like they're a part of a classroom community, how to make sure that you're building connection between your students in your class, like using some of those social emotional pieces to help get the students engaged in the class in the first place when they're you know, filter is up, they're not available for learning, so we have to make sure that we're doing everything we can to get that filter down. That's definitely happening. And all of this is our next step towards making sure that we're ready to go ahead with that blue ribbon process. We need to make sure that our teachers are on board with the latest instructional practices and make sure that they are implementing those successfully in their classroom so we can get the kind of test scores and things that we're looking for so that we can see the kind of results that are gonna get us that blue ribbon that we all want.
And with the Warrior Education, you know, I feel like we really set a nice foundation for it this year. We've got a lot of pieces to stick really well, and I can't wait to take that to the next level. I'm looking, I was speaking with the counselors just the other day and how we can even connect the home and school even more so. How do we get the parents even more so involved with bringing that character education that the students are learning to the dinner table, right? So what, you know, some of the things as a mom, I always feel like, what did my daughter learn in school today, right? So what can I talk to her about, you know? So part of my ideas for next year is to bring it to the home, right? So what are some of those conversations that the kids can have with their parents at the dinner table about what they learned about how to be a warrior that day? So there are some next steps that we're looking forward to implementing for next year to take to the next level.
And our subgroups had to see some progress and improvement. And I've just noticed from the testing that's coming back, our different populations now are moving forward from the changes that we put into the teaching modality to the L program, I think, has had a profound impact.
Yeah. We graduate, you know, we have more students graduating out of our ESL program than we have, and it's because we've really tied our instructional program and our ELL's instruction together really well. So, you know, we're making a lot of progress in a lot of those areas, and so those gaps are going to close. I think it's just this is the hurdle of helping our students when we're seeing, you know, we were fortunate during COVID. I don't think we got hit quite as hard as a lot of other places because we were here in school and we were continuing to do the work, but we're still seeing where those deficits are popping up from the difficulties that kids have. Those are developmental, social, emotional difficulties, as well as where the pockets of academic difficulty are. And so as those things are presenting themselves, that's where we're shifting the conversation here with our goal this year is these are the students that we have. This is not where, you know, we can't be teaching kids today like we were teaching them 5 years ago. We have to think in a new way because our kids are a little bit different and their needs are a little bit different. So.
But I think now this is the year, I think, Alexis makes a great point that, you know, we prepare to get ready to focus on what avenue we're going to take to put that application into the blue ribbon. And now we have to decide. I think this is the year. I feel very good about where we are and where we have come. Mm-hmm. And I really see the elementary school ready to take off, especially with all new curriculums and the testing results that will be going over in August. We've done a fabulous job. So I think looking at the blue ribbon, even though it's not one of our goals this year, it's the time to aggregate the data and see exactly what we want to choose, what avenue to go.
Yep. And I think this is our next step in that direction.
100%. If that's what the goal of the board is.
Yeah, I don't want you to mistake my reference to the blue ribbon as, you know, that I understand that's just a, you know, it means nothing if you go back to the way it was the year after you get the blue ribbon. But it's just a goal that, you know, everybody can focus on and move in the same direction. And so I just wanted to make sure that this goal still includes all of those other pieces, because I think some of them are working very well.
It definitely all work together.
Definitely
right?
Does. We'll continue the character education piece in the lower elementary and the upper elementary as we are examining, again, our use of technology, the role of technology in the lives of our students and in their current mental health situations. I think we're really taking a closer look at how do we replace some of those things with more authentic human connection, with creativity, and what impact can that have long-term positively for our kids. So I think we're gonna see a lot of exciting, changes happening as we get the chance to, look at everything with fresh eyes and team up on it. We're excited to have Kristen on board, because I think that between the three of us and the mentality that we share in terms of kids first, and let's take a new approach, and let's be brave about coming to our teachers with that new approach.
And then the connection between the middle school and the high school.
We continue to work on that, especially during our professional development days. I think part of the tricky part where we run into is that when our students are doing that vertical articulation, our teachers are doing that articulation with the high school, they feel like our Manasquan students seem like they're more comfortable and well prepared a lot of times for that transition. So we want to make sure that is across the board. I know that's something that's important to everybody, that articulation piece, and we want to make sure that we continue to communicate between MES and the high school. I know that our English teachers have talked to the English teachers at the high school, and I know our math teachers have talked with the math teachers at the high school. World language, we're obviously collaborating, sharing some of the same staff. So that part is really important, and we'll continue to work on that, especially when we're talking about algebra and geometry and those key building blocks in math instruction.
Any questions? Sticking with our agenda, high school transition. Rob Squidle, I'll let you can.
So Mr. Goodall and I took a look at another type of curriculum goal, really to be able to enhance and expand opportunities for our practical skill development learners. We really want to start to take a look again, and now that we are well post-COVID, systematically introducing high school and middle school students to concepts surrounding various paths to successful careers. And we talk a lot about the transition, between the middle school into the high school. And it really is much more than just, the courses that students are picking and the classes that they want to take. It's really about, where their path leads them. We want to do some more exposure to various trades and careers for students through, different guest speakers, site visits, counseling experts. We have a program that is incorporated into our SCORE program. It's called U Sciences, and it's introduced now into 7th and 8th grade. So I actually have a call set up with one of the liaisons for that company, because I think that taking a look at the middle school 7th and 8th graders to start to get them to think about, you're going to high school, it's not just about, coming in and picking classes, it's about, where you want to wind up at the end. So really starting to do a little bit more exposure at the lower grade levels to different options to be able to say to students that you do have other choices. One of the big things that we do for our college-bound students is our college fair every year. We're one of the few high schools that still has one in-house, and I'm very proud of that, because we still do take on 75, 80 schools every year that are coming in. Right now, the reps already start emailing us, when is the event, and so it's great. We've had this idea for a couple of years now. I want to include careers and trades. So I would love for the college fair to take a turn and to become more of a college and career fair. We do get the armed services that come in also, but really I think it would be important to bring in experts from culinary fields, from different local businesses. I spoke to somebody recently who was hiring at a local bank, and people who are making lifelong careers, you know, in different areas that might not necessarily have gone to a two or four-year university. So the goal is to really kind of take on another aspect of the fair on that night and do college and career. So as we start to post for it, I'm going to ask local business owners, you know, even alumni, those students who may have, you know, taken a different path and want to move forward, to kind of, you know, enhance that entire evening. So I think that's probably, you know, one of our bigger goals for this, because I think that, you know, oftentimes we're seeing that, you know, traditional, you know, brick and mortar schools are changing all the time, and, you know, we have to change with it. And there's a lot of opportunities out there for students who may not want to be going to school. And when they graduate high school, they shouldn't feel like that now they don't know what they want to do. So let's empower them with some more opportunities moving forward to see what we have. I know Mr. Goodall started with a couple of bus trips. He did some road trips last year, so we want to continue some of them. So if you want to
That's awesome. I mean, I'm very excited about that. I'd love to go with him. Probably won't, but probably slave on to you. So, Universal Technical Institute, I think that's awesome. And Lincoln Tech. And I really want to see you go on those trips. You have potential here.
They do.
I mean, if the board chooses that goal.
Well, they do bus trips. They will, like, they provide bus trips for students to get the students to go up. Years ago, a gentleman that came in and explained the program, and it was incredible how they ran it. But anyway, he invited students to go up. They provided the trip, they provided the bus, and the students spent the day there. And it's the same with Lincoln Tech.
That's a comprehensive high school. Awesome.
And that's part of their continuing education after they graduate. Mm-hmm. And we also had redesigned some of the coursework in our program studies a couple of years ago. To reference it, it's materials methods 1 and 2, which is surface level exposure to building materials and the trees. And then they step up to the next level of construction tech. The trip we took in late May was outstanding. We took about 30 kids. I reported out on that. And, you know, a lot of the real heavy duty stuff, the kids have to have diploma in hand to go on and get certificated. So UTI and Lincoln Tech being probably more familiar to everyone, is an excellent trip to take kids on as a recruiting for them to continue their education.
I bet they don't even realize how much money they could really make as a diesel mechanic.
Yeah, it was very impressive.
That's awesome.
And if you think back prior to COVID, we talked about establishing for kids here and to get credit internships with some of the local businesses here. So we have 2 or 3 of the largest building construction companies in New Jersey and beyond. And we were planning on doing that, but then it got shut down because of COVID. But trying to reestablish that as well.
Questions?
I
think it's great.
See you on that trip.
I want to look at those diesel mechanics. What?
They let you do it if you let you practice.
I love working on that. All right. Stop the frivolity.
No, it's there.
Gorgson is such an upbeat presentation, more upbeat presentation. I really want to talk about finance, about numbers. Now, Dr. Crowley, the focus on finance and facilities. He does a brilliant job. I thank you for that.
Well, thank you for the kind words, Dr. Cajun. My goal pretty much is wrote itself this year. The obvious high profile and top of mind topic as it relates to finance and facilities is the referendum that was passed in January. As you all know, we have a $13.77 million bond referendum that did pass in January. We actually closed on that bond at 8 a.m. this morning. So we have received the cash, it's in our bank account, and we're well underway in planning and implementation of construction for the projects related to that bond. The work that's going to take place this school year and the work that's reflected in this goal is largely preliminary planning, working with our construction managers and our architects to develop a plan and timeline for what the bulk of the construction is going to look like in subsequent school years. We have the most timely task that needs to take place is the finalization of specifications and the acceptance of bids, which hopefully will be done in one shot. If they come in under budget or at budget, we'll award the contract and we'll negotiate a final contract after the awards given in hopefully the November board meeting. That's our goal for that timeline. We'll then start the pre-construction phase, which will include our construction management team, our architect, and the awarded contractor, as well as our building administration, teachers, and staff to determine the best way to go about the construction, formalize and put together a construction timeline, and in my mind, most importantly, formalize what construction is going to look like to the classroom teacher and to the students. A lot of the projects are invasive. They'll obviously wind up with a better product, but they're going to require teachers to be swung out of classrooms for periods of time. So we have to coordinate with everyone who's going to be involved and affected to determine what that's going to look like, minimize the negative impact on students, and hopefully accelerate the completion of the project and the positive impact on students. That pre-construction phase will take place from, like I said, award time in November through probably mid-spring, late winter, depending on whether or not we can get some of the construction underway with this school year. There's going to be a lot of, like I said, a lot of work and a lot of meetings that will take place during that time to make sure that we have the most positive experience with the construction. We anticipate construction starting in earnest. I'm being optimistic. Spring, I think, really we're looking at significant construction starting in the summer of next year. We may pick off a few projects towards the end of the school year if we can do so in a way that doesn't impact learning. But I think next summer you'll see significant mobilization that will be the fruit of hopefully what this goal represents, the planning and administration of the pre-construction work. We're already underway with a number of construction projects, as I'm sure you've seen if you've come to campus. The one major project is not actually ours, that's the county project in Broad Street, but just today they started ripping off the slate roof of the high school. That's going to take place over the next several weeks, demo and reconstruction of the slate roof. Demo of the MES macadam has taken place and is complete already. New AZEC waterproof walling is already up and will be painted and finished over the next few weeks. And macadam will be poured down there before the school year starts. Tonight we have proposed awarding the playground project, which we are hoping to be complete hopefully before school starts, but I think cautiously we expect it to be completed a couple weeks into the school year. So that's the finance and facilities goal in a nutshell. Like I said, essentially it wrote itself because obviously the bond is where, or the referendum is where a lot of our a lot of my time and efforts are being spent this day and age.
He's doing an excellent job. He's got his hands around the building project. I mean, we're all meeting together, and it's not a question that's asked, but Pete doesn't really know the answer to. We tour the facilities, we see what's happening, and Pete knows where every dollar is being spent, and he's got a running total. He knows where we are with our asset set, with the bond for today. Cool. And I want to thank him for your building.
Sure.
He's got a fine understanding of the facility. I don't know if he wanted to have that when he came here, but he sure has it now. He's been a great student.
Any questions about progress so far, or what we're shooting to do with this goal, and what we anticipate accomplishing before June comes? All right.
Thank you. Now, regarding technology, and I want to thank Mr. Place for this. When I first came 9 years ago, I was handed the task of cheering for a new one-to-one initiative that we had in the district, but also being told that we had no way to pay for it. And from that moment forward, Mr. Place embraced developing a technology team, flawlessly handing out laptops, having a one-to-one initiative that is not problematic, and every year we make sure we have all the devices we need, we collect them effectively and efficiently, and it's all because of the plans that he put into effect. And this district runs the way it does because of people in this room. And I want to thank everyone for that, especially you two gentlemen, facilities and for technology. Doing a great job. With that, I'm so happy to see us moving forward with actually looking at the effectiveness of this one-to-one initiative that we have and how we can make it impact education further. So without further ado, Mr. Place has a technology initiative number five.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Cajun. As Dr. Cajun alluded to, this sounds kind of crazy to me. It's been 9 full school years, right, that we've had a one-to-one program that would be going into our 10th year next year. There's some days when I look back on it and it feels like it was last year we started. Other days it feels like 25 years ago, depending on what happens. But it's been a long time, right? And I think probably it's past due for us to truly look at the effectiveness, right, of what we're doing. Not to say that we don't think it's effective, but to take a pulse on how we're using it, right? The technology has obviously changed, over 9 years. Dr. Cajun alluded to the AI part a little bit earlier. Mr. Murin talking about, making, the classroom experience more interesting than our phones. Making sure the technology is not distracting, right? That's the flip side of it when it's being used in the classroom. So these are a lot of things to consider. I think that the one-to-one program that we've had over the years, we have tried to build efficiently. We have tried to always improve on how we manage it. But that's been a lot of my focus, and I think that has been, that's the administrivia of running the program. That's not talking about what we're using it for in the classroom and its effectiveness really there. I do think it put us in an excellent position during COVID. Just this end of this year, I was talking to a tech director from another district who we were kind of reminiscing about the COVID situation and all that. And they were talking about how like that Friday before schools were closing, they were like ripping laptops out of their carts and like throwing them into parents' cars, as they were leaving. We had a learning management system in place. We had students largely with laptops for that. So that put us in a very good position. But it is, I think, time, especially now that we've moved past that period, to take a step back and think about how's it being used, right? What are the strengths? What are the things that we can capitalize on? What are the weaknesses? What are the opportunities where we might need to see some improvement? And I want to make sure that's not just happening in an echo chamber of me and other administrators or me and my technology staff, right, who see it from a different perspective. We need to talk about it with faculty, and students, particularly in the middle and high school levels. So that's essentially what this goal is, right? To really look at how it's being used. I listed some focus questions on there. I'd be happy to add to that if anyone has any suggestions for how we can do that. And then ultimately to prepare, a summary of those findings to think about, okay, what is practical, what is effective to improve, what are, again, the things that we can take advantage of and move forward. And double down on, what are the things that we might need to change? And I expect that we're probably going to get probably some divergent views from students and from teachers, but probably some similar ones too. And that being a goal for this year to kind of formalize that, so that way as we go into the 24-25 school year, right, we can hopefully implement some of those changes to make it more effective is what I would be looking to do with this goal. Happy to answer any questions.
I'm
sorry, I do have a question.
Sure.
Can you include in these questions, I guess both for students and faculty, looking at an overarching use of technology? So not just how they're using it in English class or math class, but what the day looks like for students and faculty. Mm-hmm. And the impact that might have on both learning and mental health. Is there a sweet spot in terms
sure.
of amount of time spent on the screen and the way you're using the screen during that time, whether you're creating content or, just passively using it, which is broad.
Yep. Yeah, no, I know. I think that's a good
and
point.
And hard to quantify, but.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. I'll take that down and include that.
That concludes the presentations of the goals, but doesn't conclude the committee of a whole. Now, I appeal to the board. You would either tell me that there are goals here that you are interested in, you like them all, you don't like any, you like one or two, or you want to craft some of your own. that's what this was about, and as I explained, I would have loved to have been in small groups talking about these things, but because of the nature of who we are and what we do, it's a committee of all. So, if you don't mind, if I can go from the top and just go through each one and then see if you have any comments, or if you like that goal, you want to keep that goal, you want to make note. Goal number one, curriculum program in regards to the International Baccalaureate. Are you interested in that goal?
Yes.
Yes, sir?
Yeah.
Good.
Can it be expanded, though, to just add that there'll be an eye towards extrapolating through the professional development what can be, you know, used in other contexts besides the IB program? So
yes.
Both to develop the IB program, but also to use that information.
You like me. Pete, write that down.
I'm writing it down.
See that?
Thanks, Pete. It was inartfully stated, so if you could also rewrite it, that'd be fantastic.
When I hired him, I said to him, the interview process, you got to write everything down except for him. Because Lynn used to do that, and he has ever since.
That's amazing, Pete. And edit, revise, and improve.
It will be perfect.
Awesome. Well done.
You got it.
So that goal doesn't affect our AP classes and courses we have now?
No, it won't, Gene, but that's a great question. Down the road, will students feel that they have a need to choose either or and go in one direction or the other? Yes, but I think that's the nature of the child, and I think that's what I think is a positive thing. They are two different journeys for children. One is a different way of learning and looking at the world. The other is more focused departmentally on a curriculum. Mm-hmm. So I think in the long run it will affect it, not now. Yeah.
You're saying 10 to 12 kids from all the schools you visited in Boston? Is that a similar size school to Manitowan?
Yeah, they were. Same size, just about 1,000 students.
And is that a senior class, or that's the entire?
Entire student body there. 10 to 12 children who were taking the path of getting the diploma of International Baccalaureate, which was rigorous.
So on the financial side of it, is it worth investing in it?
That's a great question.
Less than 1% of the population.
To me, yes. And I broached this when we first started to look at International Baccalaureate and we had the numbers out there. I believe we have 10 children who are actively engaged in getting a diploma because it really gives you a step forward. There are schools, not on the East Coast, but basically in the South and Northeast, that actually give full scholarships to children who graduate with International Baccalaureate diplomas. So if you're asking me, my perception is yes, the dollar's well spent. Yes, Vicki.
What sort of kid will take the International Baccalaureate program over a kid that takes AP classes?
Well, from the classes I went to, they were children that were more focused on exactly what was being discussed in the class. More of the creative thinker, more of the person who is focusing globally on the world and wanting to make the world a better place, as opposed to somebody just going into a classroom and wanting to look at the rigor and relevance of a subject area to achieve a grade on a test. Now, the International Baccalaureate students as well have to write an essay, and there's a project at the end for them to achieve that grade. But there's a different perception in the teaching and learning of both classes. That's the best answer I can give you. I know you're looking at me saying,
well,
my question.
And what I'm thinking is I think I understand the difference between a history class and how that might be taught based on what you're saying. What would the difference be in a math class?
Well, from what I saw, the answer to that question would be the nature of the questions that's being asked the student in the math class. It's more critical analytical, I observed, and I was only in those classes for like 20 minutes in the International Baccalaureate class. The one I really liked was the philosophy class and the engineering class I was in because of the creative things that they were doing. So it's more focused on creativity and critical analytical answers to questions, where questioning becomes more important than the answers that they get. If that makes sense to you. So.
It is, I'm thinking about my struggles with math. High school, and why are we doing this? The kids that get it, we'll have some fun with that.
Yeah, I No, I didn't really have struggles, but I got Pete. He got 800. That's awesome. You got all the answers, right?
So my question really goes to, in terms of like dollars well spent. So you have 10 to 12 students who maybe are on the path to get the diploma. But if you can extrapolate out the professional development for all of your teachers with an approach to which we've talked about a lot outside of the IB program, critical thinking and moving towards a STEM-based, project-based education and assessment, like then that's benefiting many more students if they're right. So it's not just about the teachers who, students who get the degree.
It's not just the 10 or 12. Other children are afforded the opportunity to take individualized classes that they're interested in. And I saw a lot of that in the school working as well.
So it goes back to my AP question. So whether it's AP or International Baccalaureate, it's not going to limit the amount of kids that are taking advanced courses.
No. I think it will create more children taking those types of advanced classes. Okay. Those who aren't really interested in the AP will take a look at the classes being offered in the International Baccalaureate, maybe take one or two of those just for their transcript instead of all of them for the diploma. I'd ask Mr. Goodall, if he was with me, but we're not allowed to answer. Because he would probably ask him. Rob? What do you think about the questions that were asked? You were with me in Boston. I don't know if you saw the same things I did, because we went in two different directions.
Well, in terms of exposure to all of the students, most of our teachers do not just teach calculus. They may teach algebra as well. So from a training standpoint, while you're training teachers for that IB math class, you're also training them with the philosophy and the practices of IB for the other classes.
That's a point Alexis made too,
There's definitely for a lot of universities, that they take in IB as a very rigorous experience. Dr. Fasian saying that they give money and scholarship for students in IB is very true. Especially, in my own search for my daughter down south, and some of the people we talk to down there, they run very big IB programs down there, even more than they pay. And they are having that level of success. Money well spent, if the kids get it, I understand the percentage of students. Dr. Cajun said, the school we went to in Massachusetts, I'm trying to remember what the name of the school was. If you have 10 kids in your program, in your diploma program, that's outstanding. But the other kids, you may have a 10% participation in IB classes. So the investment of it's $50,000 a year is well worth the money. Because we spend that in other programs that we have here with our academies.
Right. Good. I'll move to that. Second goal, we're focused on the elementary school. Are you interested in incorporating that into our goals? Yeah, you got it. Goal number two. Any questions on that? Would you like to have that as a goal for the year?
I think they're all great. I'm taking all of them.
Doc, how's something like this measured? How's it measured?
Well, it's measured on I get it. The way we're going to measure it is by Jackie and Megan looking at the meeting agendas and the outlook invitations that the teachers receive in their PLC meetings, by going to the professional learning community meetings on a daily basis and looking at the objectives that the teachers are talking about and making sure that they're focused on student engagement. And then going into the classes and making sure that the things that we discuss in professional learning communities are evidenced in the classrooms themselves. And then having professional development for the teachers crafted around student engagement from the discussions we had at the professional learning communities. I don't want to speak for you, but I mean, right?
Yeah, so we'll have PLC agendas and notes and the reflections of the staff members complete the goals of those PLC meetings. We'll have the professional development, the actual, you know, what was presented to the teachers in addition to all the sign-in sheets of who attended what professional development. And then we will also have our meeting agendas and our notes from our administrative articulation around this goal.
And it's basically qualitative and anecdotal data that we're going to get, not quantitative data that you would get. So it's a qualitative piece that really is what education basically is based on. So, make sense?
Yeah. So earlier, the blue ribbon discussion, that seems to be a discussion, but it's not really a discussion. Like, when do we think we're going to be ready to move forward with that? Because that was a goal
for a long time. Yeah, well, when we first presented the Blue Ribbon, we said it was going to take about 3 years for us to get to the application stage and then decide which avenue we wanted to go. And one of the avenues that we saw, when we aggregated the data at that particular time, we saw we had a need to improve our curriculums and also improve the teaching and learning in our ELL classes, in our population. And we did that.
Correct.
And now, with our subgroups and our ELL population, you're going to see that we've made headway in regards to our state testing. Now is the time that we can sit down and say, okay, where do we want to go in regards to applying for the Blue Ribbon School? So now the application process is going to start. I don't want to speak for you, but that's the way I see it.
Yeah, so the application for Blue Ribbon is relatively extensive. They're looking at all aspects of the school environment. So you want to make sure that all aspects of the school environment are in order before you go ahead and take that step. So all of the things that we've been doing, from putting in the social emotional learning pieces, expanding and putting in electives, making sure that we are targeting our subgroups through intervention and through the curricular changes we're making, all of that is going to be key in making our Blue Ribbon application stand out. And it's not just about test scores, because Blue Ribbon is about a lot. It's about a lot more than that. So, you know, whereas I think we've been making good academic progress, and we can go ahead, we have to make sure that we have all of our bases covered. And then I also think that as part of the process, because everything is tied together, as our facility upgrades are happening as a result of the referendum, the way that we're utilizing our instructional spaces, and all that is going to be great for us to include in the application too. So all of these little bits and pieces that we've been doing have all been moving us towards being ready to do that, that application, because it is an extensive process, and what you don't want is to put your school community through the extensive process of applying, getting ready for it, and for that to not be successful. So we're just trying to make sure that before we put that application in, we've got all of our bases.
I think we're there.
Yeah.
Good. I understand the answer, but I don't understand when. So is it next year? Is it going to be a goal next year, or is it the year after? If we keep improving and keep getting ready, what are we getting ready for?
I don't think it's a goal. I think that it's now a focus. I think for our discussion in August, we will sit down, we'll take a look at the application process, and as long as we feel that it's going to be successfully received, then we'll move forward with it, and we will present at the Committee of the Whole in August where we are in the process.
Yeah, that's my point. It's not about the application. It's about what are we lacking, or if we are, and can we identify that, and can we improve that?
Right.
And I know that's what we've been doing. This isn't about minimizing the efforts that have been made. I just want to know, you know, what else are we missing?
100%. Good. So that'll be a discussion at the August meeting. Okay? All right, so there is interest in that goal as well.
Yes.
All right, goal number three, the the high school transition, which wasn't really transition, was more of a focus on comprehensive high school and the practical skill development learning. I love that, the practical skill development learning. Is there interest in that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so we're interested in that as well. So we have three goals. Goal number four, finance and facilities. I don't want to speak to the board, but from my perception, I don't think that we can move beyond this. I think since we're involved, actively engaged in a referendum process, that this has to be, it should be one of our goals. But I'm open. Bean?
You said it should be one of our goals?
Yes.
I think we have no choice.
Right. It must be.
Yes. Always a choice. No. Good?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Good presentation, Pete. You got it.
Thank you.
Let's see if Jeffy is lucky. Now, regarding technology and our one-to-one initiative, I think that it's very poignant, the points that you made about we want to see exactly where we are and where we're going with our one-to-one initiative. And I think it's great that you want to focus not only on the teachers, but on the children themselves to see how it's impacting them. How can we do better with this, especially with artificial intelligence now right around the corner? Actually, it's here. Is there an interest in goal number five?
Yes.
Yes? So yes. Five to five? So we you would like five goals this year? Important. Okay. I will, from these goals, develop the superintendent goals and present those in August. Okay. Okay. So these will be the goals for the year. I want to thank the administrative team for doing an excellent job. I appreciate who you are and what you do.
Thank you.
With that, in regards to policies and regulations, we have policy 2419, school threat assessment teams for the first reading. I don't think you have anything else on building and grounds, Pete?
No, I think I hit the highlights on both finance and building and grounds. So.
Okay, and with that, that ends our committee of the whole. Madam President, move the superintendent's report, Ms. Mason?
Yes, please.
Our enrollment, 1,455, high school 950, elementary school 505. Regarding our drills for the month, June 14th, we had a tabletop security meeting in the high school. June 7th, we had our fire drill. Regarding our CLI and ABA programs, same dates, 14th, the tabletop meeting, and 7th, the fire drill. Elementary school, June 2nd, we had a lockdown drill, and June 12th, we had a fire drill. We met the state mandate for fire drills and safety and security drills. Regarding harassment, intimidation, and bullying for the month, no report for the month in either school. With that, that concludes the superintendent's report for this evening. If there are no questions.
Okay, can I have a motion to approve and accept the superintendent's report? Mr. Pellegrino? Mrs. Bisson?
Mr. Boldman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bisson?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Carey?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mr. Milansiewicz?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carey?
Does anyone need anything separated out for the Manasquan general items numbers 15 through 24? Are there any questions on those items?
Number 18, I saw the email today. Are we everything? Is that what we're approving?
Yes. Any questions or thoughts on that?
No.
Okay.
Can I have a motion for items numbers 15 through 24?
Yep.
Mr. Serino, Mr. Catani, any comments on those items 15 to 24 before we vote? Okay.
Mr. Boldman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bisson?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Pollitt?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Carey?
Does anyone need anything separated out for the Manasquan and Sending Districts, items numbers 25 through 59?
Yeah, I'm going to abstain from number 52.
Can I have a motion for items numbers 25 to...
I do have a question, I'm sorry.
Yep, okay.
Number 39, is that same, more or less?
2% higher than it was last year.
2%?
Yes. We've maintained that. We've been increasing that 2% every year, at least since I've been here, and I think a few years prior to me.
Is there any way to look at what our costs are increasing on a yearly basis for that?
In terms of rent, rental?
Yeah, I mean, is 2% enough?
I could look into that. Honestly, I don't have a robust analysis of that right now, but I could look into it, and I can look into it in terms of what percentage of kids they have playing on the team.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like with all the money that we spend on programs, that number doesn't really go up. It's a huge benefit to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a benefit to us. I'm not saying that it's not, but it just seems like it's something we should be looking at a little.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be in that, now that we're discussing it, I'd be interested, and I can look into, like you said, also how many students. It's going to change year to year, kind of like the tuition we divide by the number of kids.
And I know you can't raise it a lot, but it just seems like we know that everything's going up. I mean, mm-hmm. all these agreements, for time, they're going up more than 2% a year.
Right.
Are we tied to 2% or is it just the status quo?
We are not. That is the status quo. These are it's annually renewed, so it's renegotiated.
Good.
Max.
Can I have a motion for items numbers 25 to 59? Mr. Pellegrino? Mr. Catani? Any questions, comments before we vote?
Mr. Baldwin?
Yes.
Mrs. Fasson?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Carey?
Yes.
Well, yes, with the provision of abstaining from 55.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah, I figured.
You're abstaining on 55.
Correct. I figured you had.
Put that down. Mr. Carey?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Milansiewicz?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Yes.
Carrie.
Does anyone have any old or new business they'd like to address? Can I have a motion to move into executive session? Mrs. Bassone, Mr. Burns?
All in favor?
Aye. I'm going to give you a word.
Motion.
Can I have a motion to reconvene?
Yes.
Mr. Serino, Mr. Catani.
All in favor?
Yep.
Aye.
Roll call, Mr. Baldwin.
Here.
Mrs. Bassone.
Yes.
Mr. Burns.
Yes.
Mr. Carey.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Here.
Mr. Hogan. Mr. Lucretto.
Thank you.
Milansiewicz?
Yes.
Mr. Moran? Mr.
Pellegrino? Still here.
Mrs. Pollock? Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Yes.
Aaron, we have
four. Mrs. Bassone, did you want to add some new business?
Oh, yes. I'd like to inquire about the height of the fence at the elementary school. I think it's too low.
I don't think it's too low. It's 4 foot. I don't really think that children can be taken from it, but I think it's a point well taken, and I think that we're going to investigate putting a higher fence there, especially with the referendum, anywhere from 6 feet to 10 feet, according to the aesthetic, somewhere in that vicinity. But before we put that fence up, we'll definitely take the fence to the board so you can see a picture of it, and you can see how tall it is.
Thank you.
Very well.
Can I have a motion for the Manasquan personnel, item number 64? Mr. Burns, Mr. Baldwin?
Mr. Baldwin?
Yes.
Mrs. Fasson?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Patan?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Hold on. Is that the yellow or the blue?
The yellow.
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Harry?
Yes.
Can I have a motion for the Manasquan Sending District's personnel, item number 65? Mr. Pellegrino. Mr. Serino.
Mr. Boldeman?
Yes.
Did you make in trouble for...
Try not to.
Yes.
Mrs. Fasson?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Carey?
Yes.
Mr. Patani?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes, to everyone except Thomas Pellegrino. I'll abstain on that.
Mr. Milancevic?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mr. Serena?
Yes.
Carey?
Can I have a motion to adjourn?
Absolutely.
Mr. Catani, Mr. Serena.
All in favor?
Aye.
Great, fuck, it's not bad.
The gold will be in the Friday pack.